Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to K-Move Radio, Radio for Relo. I'm Lorraine Carasosa, here with Clay Goodman.
K-Move Radio is sponsored by S&M Moving Systems, who has been moving quality beyond expectations since 1918. And today, we are honored to have Lisa Fisher on K-Move Radio. Lisa Fisher is a two-time Grammy Award winner and an Oscar winner, and in my opinion, many other people, that she's the greatest female singer of my generation.
Absolutely. And she also sang background for icons like the Rolling Stones, Tina Turner, Chaka Khan.
And many more.
Yes.
And many more. And currently she's with her own band, Lisa Fisher and Grand Baton.
Ooh, nice.
Who we've enjoyed at least 13 times this year. As we bring Lisa Fisher into the K-Move Radio studio, let's start off by playing her Grammy-winning song, How Can I Use the Pain? Welcome to K-Move Radio, Lisa Fisher. We're so glad to have you on our show.
Yeah. Hi, Clay, Lorraine! Woohoo!
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Clay. I'm glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Well, we're really glad you're here, because if it wasn't for you, we'd probably be doing a show on how to pack a kitchen. So this is going to be a lot more fun. Because, you know, we're in the moving business. That's what we do with S&M Moving Systems. And have you ever moved? Yeah. Have you ever moved before?
Oh, my gosh, yeah. Oh.
So my next question is, have you moved with a professional mover, or have you had to move yourself?
Yes.
You know, I've done both. I guess when I was younger and I didn't have as many earthly possessions to worry about, you know, it would be like, you know, call your brothers, call the family, call the friends, and, you know, bribe them with some food and beer, and they'll come over and help you out, you know?
Right.
But it gets expensive, I think, you know, the more things you have and the more life you live, you have a lot more experiences and things to move. So you definitely need a hand. And, you know, I've had movers that will either come in and pack for you, which can get really pricey, or I'll do the preparation myself and then just have them come in, you know, after everything is all packed and set to go. But, you know, just like when I was younger, I could move the heavier stuff. Now it's like, eh.
See, that's why we do shows on how to pack a kitchen, so people can pack themselves and save money.
Right, exactly.
So, but speaking about moving, I saw an interview with you with Dick Cavett, and you were taught. He asked you, if you have perfect pitch, and you said yes, and you used the example that you. So as a mover, I had to laugh out loud. This. You used the example that you hear broken glass different than other people. And as a mover, I said, "Oh man, yes, because we hear it a whole lot."
You're kidding! Oh my God, I remember that? That's so funny.
Yeah. So I have a lifelong question I want to ask right here at the start, because I have none of these gifts. I've been told that if you have a gift of music, of pitch and sound, and be able to sing like you do, that you would also have the gift of being good at math and the gift of learning a new language. Is that true with you?
You know, I was good at dropping out right before trigonometry.
Wow. I can't even say that word.
My uncle is a mathematician, and he teaches at a college. So it's in the genes somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there is some math. You know, when you think about the intervals, like one note, the relationship between one note and the next. And there is some counting and some you can sort of look at, let's say, the piano, and you can sort of see the movement, and you can see, you know, there's 8 notes between, you know, C and then the next C going up. And so in that sense, it's very rudimentary, I guess.
Yeah.
And so it's easy, and then that's a beautiful thing to have and to sort of be aware of when you're, like, playing the piano. And it also helps me when I'm singing as well and when I'm looking at a chart, because I'm not a strong reader, but I can read a bit.
Okay.
And so the math does help in that way. And language, for me, is just so – it touches on so many areas, because it's not just – the consonants and the vowels, you know, it can be on paper, but when someone actually puts it in their mouth and breathes it back out in a particular way, it's like music to me. Yeah, each language has its own melody and its own culture and its own rhythm. You know, so I at one point I was like taking Japanese. There was just something just so beautiful about that to me. And and in school I was into French. I was like, you know, they gave you a choice of, it's like, if you want to take language, which one do you want to take? You want to take French?
And French is a beautiful language.
But saying, like, you need to take Spanish, that's the one you'll need, and I wish I sort of had listened, you know?
This explains lots of things to me, so thank you for clarifying, because I can't sing, I'm bad at math, and I have 1,000 Spanish CDs that I still can't speak French.
You know what I always say? I say start with going to a restaurant that speaks the language and just try to order in the language. I always find that fun.
Oh, I was afraid you were going to say go to a restaurant and sing.
Oh, my God. They would kick him out. So, Lisa, back in August at the One World Theater, S&M Moving Systems hosted a party with 26 of our closest friends. And it was actually my very first concert that I got to see of you. And, wow, I was moved. You did such a beautiful performance there.
Thank you.
Yeah, we loved the venue. Wasn't that a pretty venue?
The venue was amazing.
Yes, the sound and just the energy in there is beautiful.
Yeah. So something happened that night that was hard to describe. I felt like I was being taken up in the rapture. We have a dear friend, Mark and Lauren Richards, who had just lost their 13-year-old daughter. And I read that one of the reasons in your bio, it says your band, the Grand Baton, the band has helped her realize her lifelong desire to make music that heals but still rocks the house. So I want to share with you that experience, because how much it healed, because they were going through deep mourning. And I've seen you this year, I think, 13 times. And I've never seen you do this before. That's what you did at the One World Theater. You asked Mark to come towards the stage, and you kissed him on his bald head.
His forehead?
And I didn't know what to do. I almost fell out. I didn't fall on my chair. And So your music is healing. I wanted to let you know that.
Very healing.
Oh, thank you. It was so strange. There was just something about him, and I knew nothing of their experience and their loss. But there was just something about him, you know, that just, it's almost like magnets, you know. You ever, like, as a kid, they would give us these magnets and place them on, like, on a wooden table, and some magnets would push away from each other and others would want to come into each other according to, is it polarity? I'm not sure. But he was like a magnet. I felt drawn to him.
That's what
we were just in awe. Wow, did she know?
Yeah, I kept telling people, because, you know, Nace Johnson was with us. So I said, Nace, did you tell her about their loss? No, promise. So I was just, I'm still, you get goosebumps thinking about it. And actually, I got to go backstage with them, and you gave me a hug. So thank you for that, too.
Oh, you're welcome.
Yeah. So this is a good time for us to take a little truck stop. We're going to pull over here, and we're going to be right back, though, with Lisa Fisher and we're going to talk further about the Alonzo King Lions Ballet in San Francisco that she's been collaborating with. So don't move away.
Before we went on the break, Clay mentioned that we're going to talk next about the Alonzo King Lions Ballet in San Francisco. And Clay said that he was so moved by the performance.
It was amazing, Lisa.
I'm just so thankful to be collaborating with Alonzo and with Lions Ballet. They're just, I saw them in New York about a year or so ago, and I was just in awe of the energy and what they could do and the way, their freedom,
yes.
Their sense of freedom within movement,
right.
You know. And the music was beautiful, and then I went backstage with my manager, Linda Goldstein, and we met Alonzo, and he's just a beautiful, peaceful, and focused spirit, you know. Very paternal energy.
Mm-hmm.
And I just sort of fell in love with them right away.
Yeah. Well, you know, it was just beautiful. I have to be truthful. I mean, I thought ballet was just for people come across the stage kind of hopping up and down, and you know, back and forth. And this is way, I was just spellbound. It was incredible. So, and I was thinking, I wonder, in Lisa's wildest imagination, did she ever think that her song, Can I Ease the Pain, ever be done by ballet people?
Yeah.
It must have been.
Never.
Yeah.
I think in the back of my head, the biggest hope would be like a headache pill commercial.
Yeah.
He talked about how you were so focused on it, especially when you're moving about, you know, with the dancers and you're singing. It's amazing how you could multitask,
yeah.
You know, and do everything all at once, but still stay focused on your singing.
Because they're doing incredible things. I was thinking you're going to forget the words or something.
Or run
you
out of breath.
I thought I would forget the words, too, because you get so enveloped in what they're doing.
Yeah.
I want to liken it to being a ghost in the forest, because there are these beautiful, I don't want to be cliche-ish, but the lines that their bodies make as individuals is so unique to this particular company, because of who each of the dancers are and their focus. And they, even though they may have similar training and it's all, you know, the ballet, there's an individuality that just makes it so special. And it's their spirits and how they emote what's inside of them. It's almost like they're singing with their bodies, you know.
Yes, I mean, they're amazing athletes. I mean, they're incredible, the movements they can do and the flexibility.
Yeah.
My back would have snapped many times.
And Alonzo's guidance with them is just beautiful to watch, because I was just like, how is this all going to work out? And the way that he thinks and puts things together, what he asks of them, and how he moves and shows them what he's thinking. It was just beautiful to watch. It was really lovely.
Yeah, and I got a kick out of JC from your band. You know, he was there, I guess it's an orchestra pit. Is that the way to say it? Orchestra pit?
Yeah, that's perfect.
Yeah. He had it all to himself, and he was beaming like a 5-year-old under a Christmas tree. I mean, I loved watching him. He was just, he couldn't stop smiling. It was really special.
He brings that spirit to everything he does. He's like, it's always new. It's always, he's always bewildered and just happy. He's just a love bug. He's wonderful.
It's apparent that, you know, you two really enjoy working together and being creative together. It really comes across. That's nice.
Yeah, I love him too. He's amazing.
Yeah. We're going to move to another part of the show here. So this is, in the radio, we had to learn theater of the mind, it's called, because nobody can see us. So we have to use our imagination. So
thank God they can't see. do not want to see behind the scenes of playing around.
With that being said, so you have to close your eyes, Lisa, and pretend that we're going to be in this big auditorium in Silicon Valley at one of the big corporations that we do business with, like an eBay, and it's filled with Silicon Valley executives, and they want to hear you give tips on how they can be their best when they show up to give presentations and to make, you know, speeches to the board members, et cetera, because we all have to travel so much.
Right.
I've been to India twice, and we fly around the world, and just like you have to do, but you have to make special performances.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
I think, you know, I'm thinking that, I know for me, because a lot of times what I find across the board is when people feel that they have to be in front of people and share information, be it musical or just stories or, you know, any verbal information, that it's your nerves that get the
yes.
best of you. They yes. tend to fill you up as opposed to you being filled with the information and the excitement of what it is you're getting ready to do.
Uh-huh.
So a lot of times for me, it's really more about talking my nerves away. You know, when I get on stage, I'm always nervous, and so usually I'm clearing space within myself to allow the purpose of what it is I'm doing to enter, and then just trusting it enough, trusting it, and then trusting myself enough to just hopefully make the connection, you know.
Uh-huh.
And I think just having that realization tends to clear away the fear and make room for the purpose.
Oh,
well, it definitely works for you, because I would never have known that you've been nervous,
yeah,
you know,
see, you
before
said,
you come on stage. There's
you
no
said you're
way.
Always nervous?
Yeah.
Well.
You know, there's always the chance of rain.
Yeah.
That's
a great way of putting it.
So instead of focusing on the fact that there's always the chance of rain, you're just like, let me look at the sunshine that's here. Let me look at what's happening here. Let me look at the purpose of what I'm bringing. And so that helps clear my mind, you know.
Is that? I've noticed that I think all the 13 shows I've seen, you start with a Mary's Prayer. Is that part of that, to kind of get the feel of the room and let the nervousness go?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. It
yeah.
sort of really calms me down, and it focuses me, and it takes me to a familiar peace, you know.
Wow.
And so it's a bit of a vocal meditation, if you will, you know.
That's
good.
True.
Thank you for sharing
yeah.
that.
How do you avoid a sore throat remedy? Do you have like a remedy, or you're like, I can't get a sore throat, or I can't lose my voice? What do you do to try to avoid that?
At times it's just difficult. You know, usually for me what ends up happening is when I'm in danger of losing my voice, a few things need to happen. One, I need to be totally exhausted and have lack of sleep and dehydrated, not drink enough water, or be in a place like Las Vegas where I just feel like I can never get enough water, or be highly stressed, which tends to, for some reason for me, when I'm stressed, it tends to affect my throat. All those things, and just if all those things are happening, chances are I will get sick. So what I try to do is just to be mindful. If I know that, like, for example, for the next, you know, few days or 7 days, I have to sing 2 shows a night, then I know that I have to drink crazy amounts of water. I have to not talk so much on the phone, not talk so much to people during the day. And I take, lately I've been taking, like, I'll squeeze the juice of a whole lemon and then add water and then put like 10 drops or 12 drops of grapefruit seed extract.
Oh.
And for some reason that helps me in 2 ways. It sort of keeps acid reflux at bay, and it's a great great thing for just the immune system. So, and I try to be careful about what I eat when I know there's going to be a long run of things that I need to be responsible for. But, you know, balance in everything, you know. If I feel like, gee, that piece of cheese looks really good. And I'll it out, and I just, you know, and I just go for it, you know.
Sure.
But, yeah, I think balance is really key, and rest is so important. It really is.
Yes, I think drinking water is important too.
Right.
You mentioned that, especially when you're traveling and going to different time zones and things like that.
And it's so true, because I know concerts that's supposed to be happening here in the Silicon Valley, they'll be canceled like last minute because they've lost their voice.
Yeah.
And people are just so upset because they wait for that for months and they bought their tickets and it's just like canceled, you know. So it is. It's tough.
It's hard. I mean, you know, so many simple things like, you know, I constantly wash my hands, especially when I'm traveling. My son with large groups of people and things like that. And, you know, I'm at a crossroads because a lot of times I really do love people and I love greeting them after show, and a lot of people want to hug and want to kiss. That kind of thing. And so as much as I love to do that, it's like if I know I have a bit of a long run, I try to shy away from it a little bit just out of the responsibility of knowing what's coming.
Sure.
This is a good time to do another truck stop. We're going to pull over. And if we're going to be back because we're going to talk about motivation for police officials. Don't move away.
All the time.
With Lisa Fisher, and wow, I think I'm motivated now after listening to Glad to Be Alive.
Yes. So Lisa, you do so many shows, and the shows you have to do songs that everybody wants to hear in every show. How do you make every show fresh?
I think for me, it really is a new experience each time. It's like I remember my first experience with really doing a long tour with Luke Evangelos when I first started out, where I knew at every position I needed to be here, no ifs, ands, or buts. I knew that I had to sound a particular way at a particular time. So in order to keep it fresh, I just sort of just have a sense that it's new for the audience that comes to see it, and so I put myself in their place, you know, and even though you might know what's coming because you're well rehearsed and you know what you're supposed to do, the energy behind it is like it's the first time, and it's new because it's a new day, it's a new second, it's a new moment, it's a new gift, it's a new opportunity, it's a new chance to make a connection with someone that's never seen it before.
Yeah,
wow,
you know.
That's true.
Like
so
Lorraine and Austin.
Yeah. Yeah, like me and Austin. Yeah, the first time I saw you, so it's fresh to me.
I love it.
So the other thing I wanted to ask you about is I saw a video, a YouTube video, where you were artist in residence at Columbia College of Chicago, and my friend John Miro says that's where artists go to recharge the batteries. Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, it's beautiful to be around the students because, you know, things are really, really new to them. Trying to figure out, they sort of already know who they are, but they also don't know who they're going to become. And so they're right in that interesting place, you know, where, you know, if you say the right thing when they need it, or if you pose the right question, or if you have a musical experience that's new for them, that it might open something in them that will help their development. And so there's something about that exchange. I think not only do the artists in residence give something, but they also get something. They get a chance to kind of look back at what it was like for them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And there's something so beautiful about that, because you remember when you were scared to death, and you remember when you weren't sure about yourself,
yeah.
You remember when you made mistakes, and, you know, and they're gentle reminders of your past and your present.
Yes. So if somebody were to say to me, who's Lisa Fisher? I could had to do it in a hurry, and I could only show them one thing. I would show them that video of you with the students doing Stairway to Heaven. The way you enjoyed those students, and I especially loved it when you hurled your hand across and you pointed to the young man when he had to sing his part. I get chills. And still talk about it. Then the two of you dance together. And I'll tell you, you're with students doing my second favorite song. And you killed it. I think the kids call it murdering it. That's the best version of Stairway to Heaven I ever heard.
Well, it's a very difficult song to sing.
Yeah.
And it was amazing.
Amazing. But I noticed that you were looking for the words. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, she's killing this song and she really hasn't rehearsed it that much. Is that true?
No. Yeah, because you know what happens when you go, and this was my first experience with the school, you know, they have an idea of kind of what they want to do, and then you get all the lyrics and you get everything together. And so, but, you know, you're going from class to class to class to class to class to class, get a little lunch break, then go to class. And so, you know, you don't really get a chance to absorb the lyrics in a way that you would, per se, if you were actually doing a show on your own and you have the time to really soak into every lyric as a memory. But reading them, there was something kind of cool about, like, knowing the story but not memorizing the story, and then singing the story like each word was a fresh experience. There was something kind of cool about that for me.
Yeah.
So that was fun. Yeah, it was really fun. I mean, you just kind of have to trust the experience and then hope and pray that everything goes well.
Well, it did.
It was really, really good.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
The kids are great. Yeah.
Yeah. And it recharged your batteries, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Because their excitement is infectious.
I can tell.
It's infectious. You can see it.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. So we're going to move away for one quick little truck stop. And we're going to come back and we're going to see if Lisa can guess what our new favorite Lisa Fisher song is. Don't move away.
Good morning, this is Vincent with S&M Moving Systems. I am the operations manager here. You are listening to K-Move, making global mobility a personal community.
And we're back with Lisa Fisher. And just a couple of days ago, Clay was online and he had me listen to this song. And oh my gosh, I had listened to it and I thought, this is my new favorite song.
Yeah.
I absolutely just fell in love with it immediately. And so did Clay.
And I had never heard it before, and as you know, I follow you pretty good. So can you guess what song it was?
I'm not sure. You know, there's so many YouTube videos, and I'm almost afraid to even think of what it could be.
There's a million out there.
There's a million. So I'm going to play a little place. We'll go. Dun, dun.
Okay, here we go. Here it is.
You remember that? Wow.
Listen to that note.
Yeah.
Woo. Wow. That's amazing.
Wow. So.
I could carry a note as high as that. In my shower. In my shower,
in
I can only do it.
Yeah.
So you can't. I won't do it here because it won't sound good. So only in my shower I can carry a note like that.
You know, I sing so bad that even the shower turns off when I'm in the shower.
The shower turns off.
Oh, get out of here. You know, I think everybody should sing. It's like one of the most beautiful and healthiest things you can do. It doesn't matter really about all the things that, quote-unquote, singers strive to be when an individual, when a human being makes sound. I think everybody should sing. I think it's a beautiful human thing to do.
I do at stoplights. Do you sing at stoplights?
Stoplights.
Stoplights?
I do.
With the windows up. Of
windows
course.
Up. Sometimes I get funny looks, but.
But, you know, the lyrics to that song, Beneath the Wing of an Angel, is just so beautiful, and the way you sang it, it just brings tears to your eyes.
Yeah,
it really does.
Really
you did an amazing job on that song. You really did.
Thank you. I'm very thankful to Tim Janis for writing and producing
yes.
that song.
Yeah, he did the words,
really
too,
fun.
Right?
I believe he did.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, yeah
okay.
Man.
Wow.
So we're getting to wind down now.
Yeah, we're coming down just a couple more questions.
So you want to ask her a question about what we do at S&M with our 5-year plan?
Oh, yeah. Well, here at S&M Moving Systems, we, you know, have to turn in, like, what our 5-year goal is. What about you? Like, what's up ahead for you,
what's
Lisa?
What's up ahead for Lisa Fisher?
Well, if you go to lisafishermusic.com, there's a link to gigs. And so we've got... some shows that we're doing next year that we're really excited about in different locations with Grand Baton, with J.C. Maillard as the musical director, Terry Arpino on drums, and Aiden Carroll on bass. And I love these three musicians because they just, they give so much and they're just so unique and so talented within themselves. And they're just so giving in what they give to me because they support me and the sound and the music and the energy of what we're trying to do. So I'm looking forward to touring with them next year. And right now we're just doing the Lions Ballet at Yerba Buena Center for the Arts here in San Francisco until the 15th, which is our last night. And we're, you know, thinking about going in the studio with Grand Baton and just trying to capture... capture butterflies and capture moments and you know, figure out how to connect with people through the music that we're trying to do. So that's sort of been kind of keeping me busy.
Thank you for that. Do you have a suggestion box? I have a suggestion for up ahead for you. I think you should be in a musical.
Wow, she'd be awesome.
You'd be awesome in a musical. On Broadway.
That would be amazing.
Yeah, I'll come see it.
Well, we'll see what the universe has in store. I always have my arms open and my heart just open as well. So that would be beautiful.
Yeah. So we're going to let you go now. We'll let you move on. But thank you for being on K-Move Radio, Lisa Fisher.
Thank you.
Clay and Lorraine, thank you so much for having me. You guys be safe and be well.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lisa.
Goodbye.
You come.